Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 722. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is, I think, downstairs still. He got fed not too long ago. It's a little after his auto feeder went off, so he's probably just chilling out downstairs. I'm sure he'll come back up here at some point, though, to say hi, to do his co-host responsibilities and bite my legs. Because that's generally how he does. He likes, you know, if I don't pay enough attention to him or any attention to him for a little while, it's like he's got to let me know what's up. He's got to chime in there and put me in my place. Last week, I guess, I'm looking over my show notes here. And I want to say last week I wasn't done with painting, although maybe I was with the maybe I had finished. I think I had. Now I'm thinking, because of course I was working on painting my kitchen, Let me see the date on this bad boy. Oh, June 13th. I don't even remember even talking about the fact that I was done painting last week of the kitchen when I it's all coming back to me. It wasn't mentioned in the show notes, but yes, I finished doing the touch-ups on the painting of my kitchen there with the hexagon pattern from The Shining in the Overlook Hotel, black, red, and orange hexagons. And it took February 11th is when I started, and June 13th is when I finished. Last Saturday, after I had recorded the podcast, that's when I did my final touch-ups. And if you look close enough, there's some rough areas, but you gotta really look close, I think. And I believe the quote from Leonardo da Vinci, which I think I almost said DiCaprio, which, yeah, not that Leo. Damn it. Da Vinci. You know, one of the Ninja Turtles, Leonardo. I believe the quote from him is, art is never finished, only abandoned. That, you know, it's, you can always perfect it more, but at some point you gotta go, I'm done. And that's what I did with the hexagon pattern. I'm finished. I think it looks good. It's been quite a relief to not have the ladder in my kitchen for the past week. That has been the big part. I haven't really still been, like, cooking much in the kitchen, as I am on overtime still. And now I am currently working on putting the light up poster frames up in my dining room, which I do have them hung on the wall. It took a while to get the measurements just right, because it's kind of an awkward area to get a good solid measurement on, because it's a long wall. And of course I have my dining room table there, and the record player stand, and stuff. There's kind of stuff in the way, and you know, there's a sliding glass door underneath. It's kind of a weird spot to get like a easy measurement off of. And I had gotten a measurement from it. I was by myself. I didn't have a friend. It would have been easier, I guess, to have a friend hold the tape measure for me. They do have a thing at the end, the tape measure, though, where you can hook like a nail to it. If you nail it into the wall and then run the measurement that way. But I did not want to put another hole in my wall and have to patch a hole. just didn't sound like a great idea to me. So I actually pushed the tape measure against the wall and taped it to my record player with some painter's tape to hold it there. And I got a measurement, but it apparently still wasn't the greatest measurement. 'Cause when I did the math on what I had four poster frames that I was hanging, and when I did the math, it wasn't quite right. And I had to redo my math several times. But what I did, because also I wasn't sure, even if I put, you know, them out like evenly, I wasn't sure how well it would look. And then I might end up changing where the placement was anyway, because there's the door underneath, and the wall is, you know, doesn't go all the way across underneath. You know, I thought it might kind of fuck with the... I went the whole length of the wall on top there, which underneath that little top area, of course, the wall doesn't go all the way out. So I was like, I don't know, it might cause an optical effect that makes it look a bit off. So I didn't want to just go up there and start nailing those fuckers to the wall and then have it just look odd. So I cut cardboard to the size of the poster frames so I could like use painter's tape and then tape them to the wall and really go from that and go, okay, I like that position, I think that looks good, and then I could make my final measurements to where the nails need to be and then nail the fuckers into the wall. I did end up, you know, getting the measurements right, and then I used painter's tape on the wall so I wasn't writing all over the wall. Although I did mark up my wall a lot, I might have to go back over and paint some of that. Also, I was checking for studs. I was, before I put the nails in the wall, I was, you know, concerned that there might be some electrical wires in that part of the wall, but I got lucky with that. Where I wanted to put the poster frames, there was no wires, so I was quite happy about that, and I didn't tag any wires. So yeah, so I got those hung up in the wall, and thankfully they were light enough I didn't have to worry about going into a stud. So though I think a few of them did have to nail through some studs. I think most of them did, if I remember, when I was hammering in there. It was late at night too, and because the last couple ones especially, they were harder to get in there. I was like, son of a bitch, I'm going right into the stud. And like I bent the nails. I think the positions might be a little off a little bit because of how, when I was hitting into the stud, they went a little crooked on me and whatnot, but the placement looks good. I think the placement looks good of getting the posters up on the wall there. And then finally yesterday, yesterday I ran into some problems. I'm not finished with this, but I was able to get the power to them and light them up I went to Lowe's to get some drywall anchors to hang the power supply on the ceiling that's like right above the door. Of course, there's, you know, the ceiling, then the wall above it, and then another ceiling, you know. There's so I was going to have it right above the door but under the poster frames that mounted on that little ceiling area. And unfortunately, there were no studs like in the middle of that little ceiling, because I really just wanted to screw it into the studs, because I knew that would be the most secure way to hold that power supply. Like, it's not a lot of weight, but when you put those power adapters into the power strip, plug those in, it is a little bit of weight. And I didn't want them to come rip out of the drywall and then have to fix that, you know, fill it with drywall compound and then repaint it and all that shit. And I'd gotten some drywall anchors, and I bought some cheaper ones that, in hindsight, like, they're good for, you know, a good amount of weight, but since I was on a ceiling area, not the wall, on a wall, I think it would be fine. On the ceiling, when I got back and I was watching, I was like, ah, man, I should have went and got some, they got the toggle screws that have, like, more of a, like, these are the ones I initially bought. I think they were plastic. I may have gotten metal, I'm not sure. Like, the first ones I bought, but they have a tendency, even when hanging from a ceiling, they're just, like, ripped right out of the wall, or the, you know, ceiling, what have you. And I was watching a YouTube video, and they were like, yeah, don't do that. Use these toggle screws, where it's got a big metal piece that goes in, and, like, once you puncture it through the drywall, you push through this big metal piece that'll work as a flip to its side and, you know, hold the shit on there. It's just a more secure thing, especially for a ceiling. And I was like, fuck. Well, when I was there, I was like, I should just go ahead and still try to mount it as a stud. So I didn't go, like, I went to the center of where, in the middle of all the poster frames, but not the center between the front of the ceiling area to the door. I went to the front of that because there was, of course, a stud right in the front, but not like going in the middle. So it's, I was like, oh man, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to try to mount it there. And I thought in my head, I was like, oh, even after I get this on there, because you got the, on the back of the power strip, you got the holes, for a screw or a nail that you could, you know, hang them on. And, I thought I'd be able to take that off pretty easily if it came down to moving it. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try to see how it looks like screwing this fucker into this stud up front. And because I knew that was the most secure option, the easiest, the best, most secure way to mount this fucker. So I did that, and I wish I hadn't done that. And I mounted it on there, and I didn't take into account that the power adapters are rather large, and it sticks out, like, when you plug the power adapters in there, that sticks out pretty far from the wall. Just on the one side. And I was like, damn it. That's kind of annoying. And I was like, fuck, I better. And I did get a, you know, I had it mounted, the power strip, and I plugged it all in. It looks really great. The lights look fucking awesome up there, lit up. Fantastic. I love that. But I do have the problem now that I attempted to move that power strip and was unable to get them off those screws. I think the only way I'm going to be able to get that actually off the wall is to break the fucking thing. And then I have to get another power strip. And I don't really want to do that. It'll take a few days to get the... I ordered that one off of Amazon. I don't know that any stores here in town have any with that long of a power cord to it to be able to run it down my wall. So I'm probably have to order another one again. And it wasn't real expensive. It was maybe $14, if that, maybe less. It wasn't like super expensive. I'm not gonna bankrupt myself by having to buy another one. But I'd really rather not have to do that. I was hoping to be able to finish this rather soon. I'm at a bit of a stalemate at the moment. You know, it's like, do I just go ahead and break that fucker to pull it? Because I'm like, it is going to hang off a little bit at the front of the wall. And that's annoying. Annoying the shit out, the piss out of me or whatever. You know, it's... I'm really not sure how I'm going to attack this. I think I've thought about just go ahead and leaving it there, which is kind of more I've been going with, is just leaving it there and then paint. I'm going to end up painting that because right now that ceiling area where I've got it mounted is actually red. The power strip itself is black. I think I'm going to have to paint that area black, which means more painting. This is an easy paint, though. It's just a straight color. It's probably going to take, like, you know, 3 or 4 coats. But anyway, I thought I was done painting. But it'll help hide the cords a little bit better, mainly just because that power strip is black, and I think that would look better if that area is painted black. It won't stick out quite as much like a sore thumb. My theory is too, once I get that painted black, and of course I've got the covers to cover all the wires with, I won't be able to cover them completely though, because it's a little screwy, because the power cords to those have dimmer switches, and not at the end of the cord, you know, it's like in the middle of this fucking thing. So I'm gonna have to make a space for these dimmer switches and then cover parts with the covers, the wire covers, that have adhesive on the back and I can stick them to the wall. But, I have black spray paint and I have red spray paint. So I'll be able to, you know, spray paint, those wire covers and like hook it on there. But there's also running into the problem, man. That adhesive that's on the back of those strips, I think it's kind of adhesive that you're going to have to kind of rough up the wall to like get that off. It's some strong adhesive. And once I put that up there, I'm not going to be able to just pull that shit off without fucking some shit up and having to at least repaint, if not, you know, get some drywall compound out and fucking... I do not want to go through that process. So I'm going to want to make sure that I am cool with where everything is at before I start getting that shit out. And also, I'll have to paint those before I put them up there. So I'm going to have to get the spray paint out, paint out those sections and what have you. And there's some work going on. I don't know. This is going to take longer than I thought it was going to. I thought maybe it was going to take a minute, as Agent Fox Mulder is saying hi. Come here, buddy. Come here. Come over here. Oh, come here, you. There we go. Yeah. He's going to say hi. He's probably just trying to say, give him a little bit of attention so he doesn't decide to... start biting the shit out of me. But anyway, yeah, I really like how those posters look up there when they're lit up. I may end up having to live with the fact that the power strip is a little in not the greatest spot, but I was really excited with how they look lit up and the fact that I can easily swap out the posters. That I can be like, you know what? I get some more movie posters. And then, unfortunately, it's kind of a a thing where I'm getting bombarded with a lot of stuff off eBay. They know that I'm looking for these posters. But and I did buy one other one, another new one. There was the Rutger Hauer movie. They had Blind Fury, and it was for only for like $14. And I haven't seen that movie in probably a couple of decades. But I love, I mean, I love some old Rutger Hauer. Is he like a blind vigilante? Let's see if I can read the synopsis here. Damn it, where's, oh, here we go, storyline. Nick Parker, played by Rutger Hauer, of course, is a Vietnam vet who was blinded during the war. He was found by one of the local tribes who taught him to enhance his remaining senses and to expertly wield a sword. On his return to the U.S., he goes to visit an old army buddy, Frank Devereaux, played by Terrence O'Quinn, but discovers that he and his wife, Lynn, played by Meg Foster, are divorced and Frank no longer lives there. What they don't know is that Devereaux was playing in a crooked casino in Reno, Nevada, and accumulated a large debt. Casino boss McCready, played by Noble Willingham, is willing to forgive his debt if he does something for him. Devereaux is a chemist, and they want him to make designer drugs. In order to make sure he does it, they try to kidnap his son, Billy, played by Brandon Cole. But Nick is there, and Nick saves the boy, thus begins a road trip to Las Vegas, Nevada, to protect the boy and save his friend with the boss henchman in pursuit. So, you know, he, long story short, he's a blind guy that, you know, wields a sword and fights. And the poster is pretty great. He's actually cutting like guns, like barrels of all these guns off with a fucking sword in the poster. But I remember enjoying the movie when I was a kid. Because, you know, it was the era of the ninja movies. Those were huge in the 80s and I guess into the early 90s. And it was sort of in that vein. He's sort of a ninja, a blind ninja-ish. Fucking... it's definitely one of I saw that and it was only like $15 on fucking eBay. And I was like, God damn it, I gotta get this. Whereas possibly my favorite though, Rutger Hauer film has got to be his you know, him playing the hobo in Hobo with a Shotgun. But I haven't seen one of those posters yet on eBay. I haven't searched it out yet either, but I do love Hobo with a Shotgun and Blind Fury, though I, you know, I don't remember it that well. I just remember he's, you know, a blind guy with a sword, essentially. So I need to go back and watch Blind Fury. It seems like a must. I mean, there is, growing up, you know, Rutger Hauer was in a lot of classics. I mean, he was in Blade Runner, Blind Fury, of course, and a lot of he was in a lot of like B movies and such. There was this Crossworlds here that was like a cheap sci-fi film. I remember seeing that one. Trying to see, like, there was. I need to go back to Beyond Justice. I think I saw that one. There was a lot of cheap like action films and shit he was in. And yeah, Blind Fury. Probably like the one I remember the most from back then. Of course, you know, Blade Runner was an expensive film. It was way back in 82 though. And but he was in a lot of like cheap action films. a lot of stuff that Yeah, I'm sure I've seen, but I don't remember that well. Oh, yeah, he was in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. I forgot about that. He had a lot of, like, bit parts in movies, but I always did enjoy, like, Rutger Hauer. He played, you know, later on, he did play in Sin City as, like, one of the big bads in the film. He was really good in that. And he had a big, you know, he's no longer amongst the living, but he had a good career, I think. He's in Batman Begins. But yeah, I got a Blind Fury poster coming, so that'll be cool. And I did just find out. I didn't realize until like a week or so ago that, fuck, I guess I'm going to have to get a Switch 2 at some point. No time. I don't plan on buying it anytime soon. Unfortunately, I don't see the prices on those like ever going down at this point. But I don't want to spend $500 on a Switch 2. But they will be having this year at some point. I probably won't buy it this year, but they have a remake of Ocarina of Time, one of the greatest games of all time, coming out for the Switch 2 sometime this year. I guess, you know, probably I would assume it's probably, you know, December sort of situation, sometimes towards like the holiday season, November, December. I haven't seen anything other than like the teaser trailer so far, where it's just like Link like laying there, but holy shit, Ocarina of Time for the Nintendo 64 is one of the greatest games of all time. I mean, makes me just thinking about it. I want to go and see if there's connectors, audio video connections on the back of this old TV I got in the other room. I think there might be. I don't have, like, the TV I have in my bedroom, I don't think has that. It might have composite hookups, but it doesn't have the old audio-video hookups to be able to, like, just hook up my 64 as is. If I had I'd love to get, like, an old CRT TV, or just, I'd like to get a modded out 64 with the HDMI hookup. That'd be nice. But, you know, the graphics weren't meant for that. They look a little off. They, you know, when they developed those games, they were meant to look good on a CRT TV it's a pixelated TV. And you get a lot of different effects with those old games that just don't look right on a high definition TV. Anyway, so you want to really be true to the form there. You gotta hook it up to a CRT TV, and I don't have any of those anymore. They're kind of heavy and cumbersome. But I would love to go back and play the original Ocarina of Time, because that game, I spent so many hours on that. That is definitely probably in my like top five games of all time. You know, number one, Final Fantasy VII. With a bullet. I mean, that is, and then past that, it's tough to say. I know Ocarina of Time may even be number two. In fact, you know, I'd probably put that at two. I mean, that game is fucking great. It is so fucking great. Just a masterpiece. And then GoldenEye's probably in there. At probably number three slot. I mean, another Nintendo 64 classic. I mean, the N64 had some amazing fucking games. I played so many hours on GoldenEye. I did enjoy the solo stuff, but that was really the first person shooter, the FPS game that I played the shit out of. And the 64 was so cool because, I mean, it came out of the gate with four controller ports, and there were so many awesome fucking multiplayer games. Like, it didn't take me long after getting the 64 to get four controllers. And I used to be able to, you know, this is when you could plug and play with cartridges And I took it over to people's houses all the fucking time. And we'd get, you know, four people going in and playing the shit out of GoldenEye for hours on end. We'd be just lighting each other up on GoldenEye. And of course, they had really great wrestling games, multiplayer wrestling games that we had a lot of fun with. But holy shit, the 64 is one of my top favorite systems of all time. Obviously, two of my top five video games are on that N64. Now, so I'd say Final Fantasy VII 1, Ocarina of Time 2, GoldenEye a strong third. I don't know if fourth and fifth. I'd have to think about it. I don't know that I'd put any other 64 games up there. I'd probably have to go Metal Gear Solid 1 in the fourth slot. And, I mean, there's been so many awesome games that I've played. And closing out with number 5. You know, I'm going to go a little bit later generation. Or, you know, more, I guess, fairly recent. Or, man, it's... Oh, there's been so many good games. And I'm like, should I go back to like a regular old Nintendo? I mean, or a Sega game? I guess I've played so much Call of Duty, I'd have to give it to a Call of Duty title, but an old one for my number 5. I'm going to have to go with Call of Duty World at War for my top 5. I feel pretty confident on that list. So PS3 era, on the PS3, rocking Call of Duty World at War. That's when they first introduced zombies into the system. And, of course, you could have tank battles and such in there. And it was a fun game. I played the shit out of that. And that was when I first got my PS3. That Toddy and Trebejo. Like, contributed to getting me that PS3 for my birthday. Just so I could play Call of Duty World at War with them. And, we played the shit out of that, man. That was like the best birthday present ever. I, played the shit out of that, Call of Duty World at War. And, we did a fuck ton of zombies. I mean, yeah. I feel confident in that being my number 5. So, Final Fantasy VII, which I've talked about a lot on this podcast through the years, which they're putting out. I don't think it's out yet. There's the final edition of the remake coming out, the part 3, which I will get at some point. So, that's the OG, though, for the PlayStation 1 is my number 1. Then Ocarina of Time. At 2, 3, GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64. 4, Metal Gear Solid 1. Holy shit, Snake. Otacon. Snake. I lost the voice already. David Hayter's original voicing of, Snake Plissken, which is also, they stole that name from Escape from New York. Kurt Russell's character. And, that game, that original, I mean, I enjoy like all the Metal Gear games, but that original Metal Gear Solid, ugh. I wish they would remake that. I haven't played the Snake Eater remake, the Delta, Metal Gear Solid Delta. I'm sure I'd enjoy it. But the OG one where you got Gray Fox in there and you're going up against the original Liquid Snake and Revolver Ocelot, which Ocelot's in 3. 3 is cool. I like 3 a lot, the Snake Eater, because you go back and you're basically Big Boss. And it's good stuff. And with the camo system, I am curious to play that remake, but God, that OG where you... have the Nikita missile boss. I forgot the name of the boss, but you have to guide the missiles and attack the boss. and shit. Like, there's just so much good stuff in that first Metal Gear Solid. But then, of course, number five, Call of Duty World at War. To me, is just the hands-down best, like, Call of Duty. It's trash these days. It is real trash, especially with all the cheating. The cheating has gotten beyond absurd. It's really tough to play Call of Duty now and do it for long periods. At World at War, though, I spent many sleepless nights playing the shit out of that. I was back in my 20s still, though, so I was easily able to stay up all night and not be able, and still somewhat be able to function at work the next day. So those days are long gone. I do that now. I work a very dangerous job. That would be a stupid move. I would be putting myself at risk for harm and, you know, the people I work with around me. You know, that would be not cool, man. Not cool at all. Anyway, yeah, that I feel confident that's my top five video games of all time. They did just announce too this week that they have the new GTA 6 finally. Well, they don't have a release date, but you can pre-order it, I believe, on June 26th this month. So next week you'll be able to pre-order the game. I guess it won't be till that day that they actually announce what the price will be. It is thought to be, well, they don't have, a price currently. The release date's not, as far as I'm aware, announced. I might pre-order it again. I don't know. It's already going to be at least like fucking $80. I don't really want, I feel like if I'm going to buy it, I should wait till it's already out and hopefully it's like on sale 1 week. That's generally how I buy most video games nowadays. I don't like paying full price. Because, you know, they're fucking expensive. I imagine I will play GTA 6 at some point, because all my friends, my coworkers that I usually play video games with and stuff, I mean, they're going to buy this shit, and I'm going to have to play it at some point to be still in the crew. I haven't played, you know, I don't have any of the GTAs in my top five, obviously, but I think Grand Theft Auto Vice City, San Andreas. So Grand Theft Auto 3, Vice City, and then San Andreas. Those are all three of those. I played the shit out of those, mainly Vice City and San Andreas, but I really haven't played Grand Theft Auto since. I think I briefly played 4. I've gone back and played Vice City again. I fucking love it. The soundtrack. Holy shit. It's a tough, close call, though, between what I like more is Vice City and San Andreas. Because, holy shit, both of those games are really good. The soundtracks to both of them are fucking awesome. You get the 90s gangster rap and San Andreas, and just the fucking amazing. I mean, I think I'd have to say Vice City is more of a favorite just because of the soundtrack. The radio stations are fantastic. I love the period pieces for Grand Theft Auto. I haven't experienced Grand Theft Auto online at all. I have not really done that. So almost feel like, you know, I should maybe try a little bit of 5. But I don't see myself doing that. I'm just going to go straight to 6, I guess, at some point. You know, I do love me some video games. thinking of the old school Grand Theft Auto is exciting. You know, I feel like I get an idea of what GTA Online is like. I have played Red Dead Redemption 2 online, which is fun, but I don't find myself going back and back and back to it. So, whereas I'm more of a, you know, if I'm doing online, I like the, you know, the first person shooter sort of situation. Or like Ark Raiders is fun. I've been, you know, playing that. Just played it for the first time in quite a while, actually, because I hadn't touched it for almost a solid month or so, because that painting situation was eating up a lot of my time, as I was there for a while doing like 3 hours or more painting. And thankfully, I'm not doing that. Again, I will be painting a little bit on the wall. I won't be having multiple nights where I have like 3+ hours doing it. It's not going to take me a month, I don't think, to finish doing the light up posters on in the dining room there. I don't think, unless shit goes. It's already gone off the rails a little bit with the power supply situation. whereas I got to figure out what exactly I'm going to be doing with, am I going to attempt to still remove that power supply? Am I going to intentionally just break the thing off the wall, get a new one? These are difficult questions. Difficult questions. I do still need to change the oil in my car. I was going to do that today, but I haven't been feeling all that great today, as I gotta push through, I guess, after I finish this and maybe do it today or possibly tomorrow, squeeze it in at some point. I mean, it doesn't take me that long. I might just push off to tomorrow, because I'm probably going over to Jackman's house for a board game night for his son Jules's birthday. I say probably because it's not confirmed that they're having the board game night tonight. Even though it's really only a few hours from now that it would take place. hopefully get some kind of update on that here shortly. It really hinges on Jules. He may be doing stuff with his mom tonight, so don't know on that yet. I feel like I need to get some people over, though, to maybe like a second opinion on the light situation. To check it out and go like, hey, what do you think I should do with this power strip? Or maybe somebody can think of an easy way to remove that from the wall without breaking the fucking thing. Which right now it seems like it's on there good. I've tried really muscling off there, and if I pull any harder, I'm going to break the power strip or part of the wall. And I already do have a little bit of area where I did trying to hammer and like screw shit in, and then also trying to pry that off the wall, where I've dinged up the wall a little bit where I'm going to have to like fix it up. But again, I've already decided I'm going to paint that black, so at least putting some little bit of drywall compound up there and sanding it won't be that big of an issue, because I am planning on painting the whole thing over anyway. It's just more and more painting. At least I got all the paint and supplies to do so. It's not something I'm going to have to get real crazy with. But yeah, this, it's exciting. I feel like I just keep creating more work for myself, because like I was so excited to be done with painting the kitchen cabinets in the kitchen there, and well, above the cabinets, what have you, and that was super exciting to have that done, and it's nice to not have to stare at that every night and to be able to just Now I'm not seeing as many of the bad stuff, like the bad parts, the fuck-ups if you will, the imperfections that I am a bit far removed from it, and I'm not spending 3 to 4 hours looking at it each night. It's it's definitely a lot cooler now. But that being said, I'm hoping it doesn't take too much longer to finish doing the posters. But the lights, man, they look fucking awesome. The way the light reflects off that black ceiling is kind of cool, too. It just looks pretty epic. And, yeah. I also run into the problem where I've been doing so much work on stuff. I've been, you know, not getting a whole lot of sleep, which I'm pretty sure is why I'm just kind of out of it today. Not feeling so great is because I'm trying to catch back up on sleep, and it's, got a lack of sleep hangover-ish, you know? And I've been working overtime in the heat, and that heat, long days in the heat, working in that just wears me down. So that's another reason why it's just, I don't want to end up doing more work. Like, shit. I do have the 4th of July weekend coming up. That's not next weekend. I am working next weekend, minus Sunday. I will be working next Saturday, so not a whole lot of sleep in the near future, but I do get a 3-day weekend coming up for July 4th, and I'm hopefully going to go climbing that weekend. Maybe. We'll see what happens. Imagine I'll going over to my friends Megan and John's to watch the fireworks, which I usually do, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'll skip that. I don't know. I don't really have to go see the fireworks. It is a Saturday night, so I won't have to worry about getting up too early the next day. But I'm thinking maybe that Friday I will go back to climbing, which I haven't climbed in quite a while. Arm strength's not going to be there. I haven't been doing my hangboarding. So that's another thing I just haven't had time to do. And I've been hesitant to do so because it does, you know, screw my arms up, and I've been working a lot of overtime. I got to be careful with doing too much hangboarding. I got to slowly build that strength up. It won't be the 4th of July weekend, but July 10th, the Evil Dead Burn comes out. I'll be able to go see that in the theater. I'm hoping I don't work too many Saturdays. I need the overtime pay. Like, we would do a 9-hour shifts. I'm fine with that. 10-hour shifts starts to get pretty rough, and then add that in plus Saturdays, which right now they're saying they don't know how it's going to be with work. really makes it sound like, yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of Saturdays, which we are. We are apparently working on a data center, which I feel really dirty about. We're building a data center, although not on my line. So I can maybe sleep easy knowing that it won't be on my line, but I will be profiting from it. I feel pretty dirty about that, as I do not like all these data centers. I try not to really use much in the way of AI. It seems like the overall bubble on that is going to be bursting at some point in time soon, as it is just a complete waste of money and resources. It is nice, though, to know that if you want to not have AI search results in at least Google when you go in there, if you just, after whatever search you're typing in, you space and then minus AI, type minus AI in there, and you won't have any AI search results, because I do find that really annoying when searching stuff, and the first shit you see is all AI stuff, which is not reliable, and also a waste. Why are you? Because it's creating work for AI that's, you know, wasting power and whatnot to do these all these searches. Google searches, you got to imagine that in any given moment, there is a fuck ton of Google searches like going on right on this second. It's got to be a lot of them. And that's burning through all our power. That's what, you know, what AI does. It just destroys a lot. Just that's hell on, you know, all the power companies and whatnot. And, you know, they're having to create more power plants and whatnot to satiate the AI. Anyway, I need to go down that rabbit hole. I mean, AI is going to be around. I don't think it's going to be what it is currently today, and that there's just no way to continue. It's losing money. There is very little money coming in compared to how much it costs, and there's just no way to keep that going. That is going to burst, and it is bursting. There is, you know, these AI companies are starting to charge way and more for their services, like ChatGPT and what have you. It's it's already becoming more and more expensive to use. And they still have like a lot of cheap features in a lot of these AI programs and whatnot, but you're getting less and less for those free services. And they're forcing it on everybody, you know, with the Google or the Microsoft Copilot that's in Windows 11. That shit's annoying as fuck. I need to find a way to get that all off my PC because it's just fucking wasting the RAM and everything on my PC because it's running that shit in the background. And I don't use it. I don't use it. I don't want to use it. And I hate the fact that you have to, or they force you. You have to. I have turned off the OneDrive, but they force you to like use their OneDrive like out of the gate when I use Windows 11 because I had all my files. I swapped over to this computer because I had them saved. I've got big hard drives on my computer. Not to humble brag, but I got some very large hard drives. You got to if you're going to store a lot of VR porn and shit. But anyway. As soon as I switched over to Windows 11, man, it forced me to use the OneDrive and store all my files on their servers. Fuck all that, man. I want to have access to my files strictly on my own PC. And not store them in a fucking cloud. I don't want them having access to my fucking files. It's some bullshit. And right out of the gate, Microsoft like forces you to do that. And you got to go through and turn all that shit off. And then hopefully you have your files saved on something else so you can easily swap them over from your OneDrive to whatnot. Of course, if it's already on the OneDrive, there's a way you can just store it locally on your PC. It's just fucking annoying that you have to do that. Really annoying. And, you know, stuff runs a lot faster, too, when you have it saved to your local system than dealing with the cloud, which is another reason why they're building all these data centers, is because they want you to store all your files on the cloud. And the deal is because you had to pay a subscription fee to run this shit all month. And that's where a lot of these, not just AI, but I mean these fucking like Adobe. I fucking have hated Adobe for a long time now. They make great products, you know, with the software where they have the leading software, or I don't know if it's even the leading software anymore, but for audio editing with your Adobe Premiere, and of course, video editing or Premiere. I guess Premiere is the video editing software. The audio is shit. I don't even remember what Adobe's audio editing software is. Premiere, I think, is for video. It's been years since I've used any of that, and of course, they've got, you know, Photoshop and all of that. Which there's great open source for that. You can use in its place Inkscape and GIMP if you want to do some editing to just, you know, pictures and whatnot. Although nowadays, you know, people are using more and more AI for that. Anyway, the subscription models for software, which I miss the days when you could just buy software for, like, you know, however, even up to like $200, and like that's it. You don't have to keep paying a subscription fee, one and done. But the companies realize they don't make any money doing that, or anywhere near the kind of money they're making now, which Adobe's just a powerhouse of cash, which from what I understand, it's cracking now. But Microsoft realized, oh, that's the model we want. We want to force it down your throat to have shit like Copilot on there and OneDrive to store all your files. So we're going to hit you with subscription fees all day and night. You're going to be paying like $600 a month to just operate your computer. I mean, that's a bit more than what it costs. But I mean, with all the software and shit, they want you to pay for the subscription fee to use all the Microsoft products, like your Office and all that bullshit. And it's just subscription fees, all the, like, subscriptions for everything, man. It's fucking ridiculous. That is the model to, if I could just find a way to sell subscription to, I don't know what service I could give, but damn it, I could retire already if I just had some kind of subscription model going on. This podcast isn't going to do it. I don't think anybody's going to pay for this. That's just a joke, by the way. I'm not actually reselling subscriptions to anything. It's definitely not this podcast. You know, maybe I'll win that Powerball later. Then I will be able to just pay somebody to come in and then fix my situation with the... with the power supply situation, mounted on the ceiling. You're like, hey, help me out. You know, do what you got to do. If you got to rip that piece of drywall out, just do it. Just do it, and I'll pay you for it. Whatever. Because at this point, I'm not getting rid of this house. I put so much work into it. I find, you know, like, even if I were to make a lot of money, like, I can't. I've put so much work into it. And, I own it, even though the bank technically owns it. I haven't paid off my mortgage yet, so I guess they sort of own it. But I can't give it up now. Even if I were to win like $100-200 million, and be like, I can't move out, man. I spent 4 months painting that shit above the cabinets. I might have a second location. Maybe I'll buy the other units too, you know, if I were to make that kind of cash, which I'll probably, you know, 99.99999% chance that I will never make that kind of money. There's a small sliver of chance that'll happen. But if that were to happen, maybe I could buy out the other units and then just knock down the walls in a couple of them. Give myself at least one other one. Well, I'd buy maybe the units on both sides of me if that were possible. They are up for rent right now. But I would imagine if I made, you know, a big enough, you know, talk to the people at the management group that owns the rest of the units. If I offered them enough money, I imagine that, you know, they would be willing to make a deal. But it would be kind of cool to buy the units on the next side of me. And then I can be loud in the middle one. Because this wouldn't be the one I would hang out in. But, you know, I would imagine I could make some different, you know, if I own three units, I could pay somebody to do something where, like, maybe take some of the walls down and just make one big unit. But also it would be cool, you know, just to have other people, friends of mine, be able to move in. If I had all the other units and I knew everybody in them, that'd be great. Well, most likely never happen. But if I were able to, you know, pull in some cash, who knows? Maybe I'll somehow write a screenplay and that makes money. Seems unlikely. But I've got a great area to write them in now. I mean, my downstairs area. I mean, it just screams out movies. And those lights and everything. Maybe I go down there with the laptop and just take in all of that. And then I don't think even if I were to sell the screenplay, though, there'd be like life-changing money. Like, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I could pay off some debt with that sort of situation, unless it becomes some massive hit or something to that nature. But hopefully, you know, it'd be cool to sell one that got turned into a movie, even if I didn't make a whole lot of money. Even if it turned into like a Blind Fury, you know? It'd be like, my one movie was that Blind Fury. Blind Fury 2. Maybe I should write Blind Fury 2, even though Rutger Hauer is no longer with us. It wouldn't be the same without him. It would need... there'd need to be some monuments to... Which I guess it wouldn't work. Because the whole point... were we going to have another blind guy? How would that work? Maybe a reboot? Blind Fury? The Blind Fury boot. Reboot. That I don't think is going to be a blockbuster. Blind Fury, the 2027 version. it'd be a tough sell. I know I talked about in the past doing a over the top 2, where we follow Lincoln Hawk, which of course is Sylvester Stallone's character. If you're not familiar with Over the Top, it's the Sylvester Stallone classic. It was a bit of a bomb. but he was a truck driver that moonlit as a arm wrestler. He went to arm wrestling competitions. He, of course, trained for arm wrestling while driving his big rig with the weights, he had to shift too. This said, which I guess when you're on the highway, you don't have to shift much unless you, so you can work out. I guess it works out while you're, you're driving, and he's, you know, lifting weights while driving, which I thought was one of the greatest parts about Over the Top. But of course, the premise of the movie is he ends up arm wrestling for the custody of his son, like Robert Loggia is the kid's grandfather, and I forgot what the relationship between Stallone and the boy's mother is, but at the beginning she like dies of cancer, and he's basically going to arm wrestle to get the custody of his son from Robert Loggia. it's pretty ridiculous, but also awesome at the same time. I mean, his character's name is Lincoln Hawk. If there's not a more American name, you know, Lincoln Hawk. And then, of course, to get more power to do the arm wrestling, Stallone turns his hat backwards to get more power and go over the top. That's his movie. He's going over the top, baby. Lincoln Hawk going over the top. It's so bad, but good. And, you know, I thought of, making a sequel to that where we follow Mike Hawk, his son, which isn't as strong of a name. I mean, Hawk's just a great last name, period. Full stop. But Lincoln Hawk? I mean, I can hear the Eagles soaring, you know, the sounds of the Eagles, which you'd think it would be more of the Hawk. But I mean, you know, the in relation to, like, America, I can hear the fireworks, the jets flying above when I hear Lincoln Hawk. I don't hear that when I say Mike Hawk. But I don't even remember what the ideas were. I talked about it on the podcast years ago, but what I would do for a sequel to Over the Top.
Lincoln Hawk. Anyway, that's really, I guess, about all I've got. I guess I got to figure out whether or not I'm changing my oil today. I'm still not very motivated to do so. I might try to do it tomorrow. It's like, man, I have just wasted today. I got to, like, get in the shower and whatnot. And I still got to get my Powerball ticket. I'm not going to win if I don't have a ticket. Not that I'm going to win with one, but definitely not going to win if I don't have one. So got to figure that out. So as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.